It's now time for The Sit Down with
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right, another day gone by, another month gone by, July 31st, 2022. The Sit Down with yours truly is here. It is 8.05 p.m. Eastern on Sunday night. Yeah, we're on the Ric Flair watch. As we speak, the Ric Flair retirement show is underway. We will be doing this show for about an hour. Maybe 90 minutes if needed. I think it'll still be too early to tell what went down with Ric Flair's match, but best be guaranteed tomorrow night, August 1st, 2022, I will be right here at 11.05 p.m. doing your Raw post show. We will definitely get into the Ric Flair match. Now, as I have said the last couple of days, even if I was not doing a sit down tonight with all of you, I would not have watched that Ric Flair match live. Because of his health conditions, because of his age, because of the risk, there is a heavy risk, just because we're wrestling fans, just because we've been blessed to have Ric Flair entertain us for so many decades, just because we kind of feel a little bit inspired that he has worked this hard to have one last hurrah, because of everything surrounding Ric Flair, does not take away the fact that you could just go like this. I swear on a stack of Bibles. I swear on a stack of Bibles. One of my friends of the family, I don't want to say his last name, but his first name is Sean. This past weekend, God said, strike me dead if I'm lying. His 51-year-old brother, who lives in Jersey in perfect health, went to see his kids play softball. He caught a heart attack, died right there. 51 years old. Tomorrow is never guaranteed. I cannot watch that Ric Flair match live. And in the back of my mind, worried, is something going to happen? Is something going to happen? I hope nothing happens. Is something going to happen? Oh my God, is this? Is he going too far? I want to know that Ric Flair was okay. I want to know that he got past this match with no issues. I want to know that it was not just physically okay, but not an embarrassment. If it passes those guidelines for yours truly, I will watch the match later tonight before I go to sleep, and I will comment about it tomorrow. I hope he's okay. I don't care what anybody says. Well, you know, if he wants to die in a ring, go ahead and let him. Now, that's not how the world goes round. You know, we can't all be wrestling versions of Dr. Jack Kevorkian. Like, hey, if you want to go, yeah, just wrestle and keep doing it. Keep doing it every day. You know, is this going to be the night that Ric Flair drops dead in the ring? No. No, nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. So, not to mention the price tag. I mean, look, it cost a lot of money to do this. I will never, ever crap on Conrad. Conrad, some people feels he's a hustler. That man, we wish we had 10% of Conrad's energy. That guy is just a nonstop workhorse. And look, put him aside for a minute. Look at how much we've gotten over the past 5 years. You know, is it a wrestling boom? No, I still don't think it's a wrestling boom. You know, making business deals outside of wrestling, you know, are big time money, as with a lot of other forms of entertainment. But you look back in the last 5 years, it's a pretty damn good time to be a wrestling fan. With all the StarCast events, with all the conventions, with AEW now here, now, you know, a little bit of a change with WWE. And look, I have said for quite some time now that you're not going to expect this dramatic, gigantic, unbelievable change within WWE. You will see Triple H's fingerprints on some of what you watch on TV. Triple H responsible for convincing Io Shirai, now known as Io Sky, to stick around a little bit longer. Dakota Kai coming back once again after the frustration of her doing dark matches, and Vince is like, not feeling it with Dakota Kai. You know, of course, you're going to see some footprints. And on the opposite side, you're going to see some old school wrestlers, some who were Vince McMahon guys. And just because Triple H is at the helm, and just because he points at people, and just because, you know, he had a heart attack, and just because he is so friendly and open and wants to hear suggestions for everyone, doesn't mean that everybody's going to want to go along with that program. When someone gets pushed, someone else doesn't. And it's only a matter of time where you're going to start hearing the rumors of some people feeling that they were promised a bag of beans and did not get it. You can't please everyone all at a time. So you may like some of the subtle changes on WWE television, but in other cases, you may not like what you get. So, no, it's way too early for Ric Flair to wrestle. It is kind of past his bedtime, but I would estimate he would wrestle somewhere around, what, 10 o'clock tonight? That's pretty fair. 10, 11 o'clock? So we'll see. So anyway, the sit-down, if you are new to this show, is a show that we do every week where I basically show up, no joke, with a blank piece of paper, and I sit back and I answer your questions. I relay your comments, and I do it through the chat room and through Super Chats. Super Chats are not required. They're appreciated. It actually allows the show to grow. It keeps me in business. And yes, they do get a little VIP treatment, but it's not required. And I promise tonight, everybody who is live and you're a channel member, I will sit here and answer anything that's on your mind. It does not have to be pro wrestling related. I'm a little bit annoyed at myself. I'm going through my emails right now. I emailed, what the hell? I just thought I heard a sneeze. Oh, that's AOL with their dumb freaking pop-up ads. I thought I heard somebody sneeze. I'm like, there's nobody in this room. I emailed myself a photo that I forgot to download, and I just downloaded it now. Tomorrow night, during our Raw post show, if you want a chance to win a signed photo of Vince McMahon, we are going to do live in the chat room tomorrow a Guess the Raw Rating contest. Especially coming off of SummerSlam, 1 week of Triple H in Creative Power, someone tomorrow is going to win that autographed photo of Vince McMahon. Go on eBay. Even if you don't like Vince, go on eBay and see how much that's going for right now. So tomorrow, that will happen. You have to be a channel member, and you have to be in the chat room. No purchase necessary. Oh, subscriber, excuse me. Channel subscriber. Channel memberships, I know, cost a few dollars. Subscriber, it's free. Anybody who is a subscriber to this channel will be eligible for that contest. So we'll do it tomorrow in the chat room, probably within the first 30 minutes of the show. And you'll just have to predict what you think the Raw rating will be. And whoever comes closest is going to win the Vince photo. So, enough of me talking. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Harris, thank you. Thank you. You reminded me. We definitely have to reminisce tomorrow. Tomorrow is August 1st. Who could ever forget the August 1st warning in TNA? It's always warm to my soul, because that was the time where Bully Ray was going to beat the living shit out of yours truly. Now, things have been mended since then. I have nothing but love for Bully Ray. And yes, I look back on it with a little bit of embarrassment of how immature. I mean, I know we talk about some people today who just do everything to bash WWE or AEW, whatever it is. I used to do my share with TNA. And at that time, when they did those teasers for the August 1st warning, this is not Batista. Warning. And it was Tito. Remember, that's how I started doing my Don West impersonations. See, I can't do it live on the show because I kind of look like a chicken or a rooster. Because anyone out there that ever, like, does, you know, when you learn how to sing, they tell you, go into the bottoms of your stomach. Like, you actually got a channel, and that's how you actually get those extra nose. For me, I almost got to feel like I accidentally, like, closed my zipper on my nuts, or I stepped on a Lego bare feet. You know, that's how you do the Don West, because you can't. I have to do it. Tito Ortiz, ease. You're like, ee. That's how you do the Don West. Tito Ortiz, what are you doing here? Oh, my God. That went over like a wet fart. I still remember the theme music. You know, back in the day, most of you are too young to know this. Back in the day, WWE, TNA, other companies never released their theme songs right away. So what we would do in the music message boards is somebody would go to a WWE house show, hit record on their recording device, record the entrance music. You'd hear a little bit of cheering in the background, but then they'd go on social media and say, oh, look, Evolution, first version, live. And then you'd have these people that would use Gold Wave or old sound programs, and they try to edit out the noise in the background. And we would all get so anxious that somebody is going to, you know, a lot of people don't know this. I'll tell you a very, very quick story. When Motorhead came out with Evolution, I don't know if you all know this story, and believe me, I have old screenshots to back it up. Evolution, when they first came out with the first version, it was just a guitar solo without the Motorhead lyrics to it. Somebody, you know, put it up there. And me, you know, like I had the wrestling theme music station at the time. So anyway, Steve Austin's song by Disturbed. Remember that version, Steve Austin's music by Disturbed? I still have it somewhere. And you know me, I always will deliver. If I have to go pull it this week, I will. We were trying to get Steve Austin's version of Disturbed so bad. Somebody in our theme music network said that they had a bootleg of that song and three other songs. It was a white label. And we don't need to get into what white labels are tonight. And he said that on specific day, specific time, he was going to throw it up on eBay. And because I had the theme music station, I had to deliver. So as soon as that auction went up on eBay, I bought the fucking song. I paid $125 to get Steve Austin's Disturbed theme before it ever came out for anyone else. I took it, I put it on Tombstone Radio, and everybody's like, holy shit, where did you get this? Where did you get this? I didn't really tell anybody that I paid $125 on eBay for one fucking song, but it was pretty cool, pretty damn cool. Another quick story, and I know some of you know this already too. Anybody remember Steve Corino's old school style, the ECW, his last theme song in ECW? That never came out. And I wanted that song so bad. It was that song, and it was Mikey Whipwreck and Tajiri's song in ECW, where you hear the Sinister Ministers laugh at the beginning. I can't do it. I sound like Santa Claus, you know, with a zipper caught, you know. I always wanted that song. This is a true story. Harris, yeah, he's saying it right now. He remembers this story. I was working indie shows for USA Pro Wrestling and a couple of other local places. And there was this guy, Anthony, a DJ there. And, you know, he's a little pussy, but, you know, he's a nice guy anyway. And what happens is when the wrestlers show up to do an indie wrestling event, they would give their CD to the DJ. And then the DJ would have everybody's theme music. He would set it up. And in the case of Anthony, he had a multi-disc player. So he would have a couple of different CDs set up, ready to go. And when wrestlers would come out for their match, he would play their entrance music. And then when the night was over, he would give the CDs back to the wrestlers, and the wrestlers would take it and they'd leave. So Steve Corino was on the card. And I don't remember if it was the first or second annual Chris Candido Memorial Show. It might have been the first. I don't know. But Steve Corino was on the card. And I saw him give Anthony the CD. And I was like, I got to have it. So anyway, Anthony, about maybe an hour into the show, he's got to take a leak. He's got to take a pee. So he's like, you know, could somebody watch the booth while I go to the bathroom? I'm like, Anthony, I'll watch it because I was doing, collecting all the money for the tickets for Goodman at the time. I'm like, Anthony, I'll watch it for you. He went into the fucking bathroom. I had the same excitement when I told you when we robbed that babysitter's house back when Eric B. and Rakim's Paid in Full first came out. You know, I got gold. I had that same excitement. I felt like this childish little hoodlum. And I'm like looking around and I'm looking at the discs and I see it on the thing and I pulled it. I put it in my fucking pants. I stole Steve Corino's theme music that night. I got my car. I played it in my car at least 5 times on the way home from Jamaica, Queens. Oh, no, it was Long Island. 5 times I played that. I'm like, I got it, you motherfuckers. Never asked. He never said, you know, because look, if the DJ loses the theme music, I mean, I'm sure they had additional copies. But back then, you know, music was handled much differently. Now everything is digital. I stole that motherfucker. Do I still have it? I'm sure I do. I got tons. I'm looking right now at about 3,000 discs in binders. I still keep everything. I'm a hoarder with stuff like that. I don't like to throw things out. I have shit hoarded everywhere, you know, and now I got to clean it up because I'm getting a roommate in a month. But, yeah, that is my favorite moment as far as theme music, when I stole Steve Corino's entrance theme. And then what was funny was, you know, I became friendly with Harry Slash. I love Harry Slash. And he was the master of the ECW music. And I should have just said, hey, Harry, can I have a copy of this? Give me a cheap digital version of it. I don't need a good quality. Tombstone Radio airs shit quality. So I could have probably just asked Harry Slash for other people's music, and I never did. So, all right, so August 1st, tomorrow, we're going to have some fun with that, absolutely. And you know what? Shout out to Crazy Cruiserweight. I know it's a little out of place, but he sent a $9 super chat to celebrate the 9-year anniversary of August 1st. Tito Ortiz! That theme music that night was so goddamn clear. I remember when he came out on the stage, and if any of you have never seen it, or maybe you just forgot, go on YouTube. I give you permission. Go right now and look up Tito Ortiz debut TNA. And you see, wasn't it Angle and a couple other guys? They were in the ring and they're acting like they're trying to hold each other back. And you just have Tito Ortiz like this. And he's got his arms folded. And this is right smack in the middle of Bully Ray wanting to beat the fuck out of me. And I remember tweeting him and I said, listen to that reaction. I said, and you actually think I'm wrong with what's going on? You know, I mean, I used to rip TNA apart. I mean, you know, back then he invited me and Kevin Castle to go to Florida, confront me right in the middle of the ring. So glad I didn't do it. And you know what? I got to make mention of this quickly. Thank you, Cruiserweight, for that. Yeah, I will have. Now, since I'm off keto, I actually can have some pancakes. So, yeah, we'll definitely talk about August 1st tomorrow. Rest in peace, Black Jack Brown. A lot of you may not know Black Jack Brown, but he is good people, and he died. I think he was close to 80 years old. I'm going to pay tribute tomorrow a little bit more. But just to give you an overall synopsis, Black Jack Brown was a wrestling columnist. Did 900 numbers. A lot of people for many years thought in the New York Daily News he was the slammer because every Monday, you'd have the slammer to do his, I think it was Fridays, would do his weekly column about pro wrestling in the New York Daily News, and everybody thought he was the slammer. He wasn't. Black Jack Brown, in the early days of the Minority Report, and I still have old episodes of the Minority Report to back it up, Black Jack Brown was doing a 900 numbers. Him and King Jordan. King Jordan died a couple of years ago, if you remember. And, you know, Black Jack Brown, I became friendly with him around 2001, I think. It was either 2000 or 2001. And he got me this close of starting a 900 number. He saw my hotline go to number one in a matter of 2 years across the United States. It was free. And he said to me, he goes, Anthony, I wasn't DT at the time, just Anthony. He's like, Anthony, you could make so much money right now. Get the 900 number. He walked me through it. It was going to be a 900 number, me, him, and King Jordan. And we were going to just give wrestling gossip, rumors, and it was going to be like $1.99 a minute. And I came this close of doing it. And then I said, nah, I can't fucking charge people. No. And that's why if you go back, go to Wayback Machine and look at my website from 20 some odd years ago, I always wrote, it's not $1.99 a minute. It's not 99 cents a minute. It's free. I couldn't do it. And the reason why I couldn't do it was because I didn't have any great sources at the time. Mike the Informer was the only person back then that would give me legitimate news that actually had connections behind the scenes. Blackjack Brown was like, brother, I'll help you. He says, I'll walk you through it. He says, you got this charisma about you. You talk to people one-on-one like your friends. You'll be perfect. He's like, do it. And I pussied out. One of the biggest mistakes that I have ever done. Sure, to be honest, I didn't want to charge people who were tuning into my stuff. I felt like I was being a sellout because I didn't have sources. And I just felt like, nah, I don't want to have that pressure that I'm charging people money to tune into my stuff. And meanwhile, at that time, it wasn't even sausage, you know. But Blackjack Brown, he went to XPW back in the day. Oh, my God, the interactions with him and Supreme. Oh, I'm going to pay a little tribute to Blackjack Brown tomorrow. He died over the weekend. I think he was 79. You know, we had a couple of deaths over the last couple of days. Not only did we lose Blackjack Brown, Bill Russell, he died, I think he was, what, 88 years old? Lieutenant Uhura, Nichelle Nichols from Star Trek. Maybe one of my youngest crushes that I could remember, yes, those fucking mini skirts that she wore in Star Trek. I was a preteen, and I couldn't understand, like, what's going on down there? Like, you know, something wrong here? I always thought she was cute. Then I learned her career as I got older, and she was far more than just Lieutenant Uhura in Star Trek. Really, really wonderful, kind person. And she died today. Bill Russell, just do a Google search. Look up Don Tony and Bill Russell. I can't tell you how many times in the past I have said that if I could pick one basketball player that I never got to see live and in person, Bill Russell was at the top of my list. I got to see very, very early as a kid. I don't remember it. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I saw Michael Jordan twice. You know, I never got to see Kobe. You know, I probably Kobe would be up there as well, but I always loved Bill Russell. And growing up as, and I mentioned it earlier, growing up as a teenager in the 80s, and my favorite TV show that I still watch to this day, Miami Vice, and Bill Russell is on that episode, I fucking marked out so much. Bill Russell playing a corrupt former basketball guy that's now a judge, and his son was that basketball player. I can't remember his name. Someone in the chat room may remember. And then we had Kramer. Kramer, yes. He was outed kind of being a racist or just, you know, ignorant. I don't know how people feel about Kramer these days. But Kramer was on that same episode of Miami Vice. And he was the loan shark to Bill Russell, and Kramer's playing the fucking gangster. Miami Vice was epic back then. Didn't Mr. Sulu? Mr. Sulu is homosexual, which is fine. I have no issue with that. The motherfucker played the leader of a prostitution escort service at that time. Oh, man, those were the memories, man. But when I saw Bill Russell on Miami Vice, one of my favorite episodes of all time, even at the end, you didn't have to see the graphic violence. All you saw was Don Johnson say, no, please don't, you know, because Bill Russell put the gun to his head. And all you see is Don Johnson, and then you hear the noise, and you see, and then it just goes off the air. Bill Russell, yes, Bill Russell, not on the level of Wilt Chamberlain. Bill Russell, I think, had his share of the ladies over the years. So Fly says, I might get my Italian card revoked for not mentioning Paul Sorvino. No. I mentioned him twice last week. I said, first we had Ray Liotta, then we had James Caan, and then we had Paulie Walnuts, and now we got Paul Sorvino. Last week I talked about when he filmed a movie a couple of years ago in Middle Village, and we actually went because he was doing a scene at one of my friend's places. Got to meet Paul Sorvino twice in my lifetime. Very, very quiet man. You would never picture him being Paulie in real life. Too relaxed. Very, very down to earth. His daughter, Mira Sorvino, legendary from our neck of the woods. Yeah, Paul Sorvino passed away as well. So, yeah, Bill Russell was, that guy was gangster, man. Blackjack Brown was gangster, too. That motherfucker was gangster. I mean, he was an insider, but he was also a photographer. A lot of people that pay tribute to Blackjack Brown this weekend never brought up his photographical work. Guy was a photographer, too. Eric, my dad did go to Ivana Trump's funeral. He did. Sent me a bunch of photos. I didn't post them online because it's only going to be interpreted as political. You know, he got an invitation to go. He went with a friend of his. My mom didn't go. My mom's not into any of that stuff. But, you know, my dad said that transportation was horrendous. You know, I think they took an express bus and then they took a yellow cab, left them like two blocks away. But, you know, it was a funeral. I mean, it was a celebration for Ivana Trump, but it was a funeral. So somebody really got angry with me online because I posted a photo of the invitation. And the person was like, you know, first it was innocent. Like, who has invitations to funerals? Yeah, they do have celebrations. They do make cards. You know, you'd be surprised. But then this person was like, take that down now. I'm like, why? Why? I thought it was a beautiful photo. I'm not trying to be political. I hate politics now. I hate politics. All right. Let's answer some questions. E. Dubs Harris. Who do I see Brock Lesnar feuding with next? I want to see him and Kevin Owens, maybe him and Lashley go at it again. You know, someone asked me, I was going answering comments from the stream for the last few days on YouTube. Somebody asked me earlier, DT, does it feel like Brock Lesnar is leaving for a little while? And I know I touched on this briefly yesterday, but now since we're about 24 hours removed from SummerSlam, it does feel like that Brock is leaving for a while. And I don't think it's okay, Vince retired, Brock wants out, Brock agrees to work through SummerSlam, then Brock leaves. I don't buy that scenario. Brock Lesnar, it's about business more than anything else, and I think time will be the deciding factor if Brock Lesnar remains in WWE. Brock has Vince on speed dial. They text, they message each other, they talk on the phone. That is common knowledge. That's not even news. So believe me, that open communication is there. So believe me, Brock and Vince are still buddy-buddy. And Vince is not going to tell Brock, don't go there. You know, Vince still owns 51% of this company. The more WWE succeeds, the more money Vince makes, the happier Vince is. Vince McMahon wants to, you know, a lot of people thought that there was going to be dramatic changes, you know, even in the creative department. Believe me when I tell you, you will not see that full-blown until Vince is no longer on this earth. And I'm not trying to sound morbid, but that's just a fact. When Vince McMahon no longer owns 51% of this stock, when Vince McMahon cannot, you know, because people think that he has no say in anything anymore, and that's not true. He hasn't committed any crimes, hasn't been found guilty of any crimes. Board of directors, no one has come to conclusions, even though that investigation is coming to a close. At the end of the day, if all Vince did was step down and everything closes and there's nothing else, Vince could very well want to do something again. Will it happen? No, I don't think so. But people think because Vince stepped down, that's it. The locks have been changed. Vince, you can't come in the house anymore. That motherfucker will cut those padlocks down. So time will tell with Brock. Anybody that tries to tell you now that Brock is going to stay, Brock is going to go, nobody knows. You think Brock is going to tell somebody in the back? You think Vince is going to tell anybody? I have no idea. I'm just giving you my perception. My perception tells me that Brock is going to be off TV for a little while. But didn't somebody send me earlier an advertisement that day one, WWE's pay-per-view, January 1st, 2023, is going to be in Atlanta, and Brock Lesnar is on the front? Of course, that could change. But I think maybe Brock... Let me put it this way. Drew McIntyre is going to win those belts. Brock being off TV is a must. It's a must. Because a lot of people may think Brock versus Drew should be, you know, in the very near future. I don't know if WWE wants to do that. But, you know, only time will tell. So, by the way, we have some super chats that came in. I will definitely get into them in a few moments. I wanted to give a shout out again to Mikey Ravello, Rams fan, Roger Rubio. These are everybody who sent some gifts yesterday. James Edward, Chris Cutter. I always get your name wrong in the end. Nero Fay, Ronald Ciullo, and Theme Parks with Johnny. Thank you very much. Those were sent yesterday. We'll get into tonight's in a few moments. Brock Lesnar will not be going to AEW. No. And let me say this too, because this keeps coming up. When you have people that say to you that now with Triple H in full creative control, expect this huge influx of wrestlers to come back in, let me tell you why that's inaccurate. I'll give you two reasons why that's inaccurate. Number one, WWE released a ton of wrestlers because there's constantly churning of wrestlers. You get a certain amount of time. If you don't produce, or if you're not someone for special circumstances that they should keep you anyway, you are going to be released. Triple H said that to Stephen A. Smith. It's been written. He did another interview online. I can't remember. The Athletic, it might have been. You know, just people aren't listening to what Triple H and others are saying. Just because he's the head of creative doesn't mean the way WWE operates changes. He's the one that makes the final say in a lot of creative decisions. But when it comes to hiring and firing, the stockholders answer to that, not podcasters in the internet wrestling community. So when people tell you that, understand creative, hiring and firing, two totally different animals. Number two, when people do say that, ask those people, who are you talking about? Johnny Gargano? Okay, and? Killer Cross? Okay, and? An AEW guy? You know, these guys, with all due respect, never tore the house down with numbers. I'm a fan of Killer Cross. I want to see Killer Cross back. But is Killer Cross, somebody wrote yesterday, Killer Cross should come back and beat Roman for the championship. All right, maybe in your video game, and maybe in your sleep when you wake up with a wet dream. But as far as the WWE score, even Killer Cross would laugh in your face. He's not in any position. You're not going to see millions of people suddenly, you know, losing their shit over him or Gargano or anyone else. Gargano is an underground favorite. You know, I mean, we all love Johnny Gargano. I'm a huge fan of Johnny Gargano. But, you know, anybody that says that, they're putting their fandomhood above anything else. So when people tell you, oh, there's tons of people that can't wait to come back, I guarantee you if Bruce Pritchard owned WWE, some of those people would love to come back because that's where they make the money. That's where they get the most exposure. That's where they get to become household names. So, you know, when people throw that at you, ask them. Say, name me 10 people. And I guarantee you when they list the 10 people, 9 of the 10 can't even draw 1,000 people on the indie circuit. You know, just because Triple H might mold them into something that they should have been, that's fine. And how are they going to overtake Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes when he comes back, and tons of other people that we met? Tell me how they're going to leapfrog them. WWE, if you saw SmackDown, they didn't increase the number of people that are performing. Didn't happen the week before either. You know, so it's wishful thinking by a lot of people, but it's not realistic. All right. I'm excited. Don't get me wrong. I am excited for what comes. And I'll tell you why. When you have someone in their late 70s, mid 70s, running the whole gamut of what we see on TV, the person who has the creative influence more than anyone else that could override anybody for any reason at any time, and he's got some of his personal choices also surrounding him as well, and I'm saying as far as Vince McMahon, you get complacent. You get used to what you know works. So you don't roll the dice as much. When you're a $1 billion publicly traded company, rolling the dice sometimes is a big no-no. So Vince does what he's used to, what he's comfortable with, may not see this. All right, he knows this works, so let's just go with this because he knows this works. That's why you saw rematch after rematch after rematch after rematch. You see the same formula. So now with Triple H, that aspect is not going to change that much, but now you have someone who is 30, 20 years younger, you know, 30 years younger, however old Triple H is, 25 years younger, that now has that younger, energetic vibe that can relate more to some of the wrestlers there, gives wrestlers hope, gives them hope. So that energy is welcomed. It's welcomed. You know, if Vince McMahon, look, his penis still acts like a 40-year-old. If Vince McMahon's penis, if the rest of his creative body, his mind and everything else would have worked like his penis, we probably would have been fine if Vince would have stayed. But now we get that energy, the extra burst, that extra jolt. You know, sometimes when you go on a diet, the first day or two, you lose a couple of pounds and you're uber excited, like, oh my God, I feel good. This is changing this and that. Or you do anything changing in your life, anything, relationship, anything else, the first couple of days, it feels like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then before you know it, you're right back to where you were before. So, you know, be excited, but also be very aware of what's going on. They have to answer to investors and stockholders before they answer to us. But what we got yesterday definitely answers to stockholders and investors because they drew 40,000 plus, because everybody is raving about the event. You guarantee got new Peacock subscribers today. It's going to carry over to Raw, and you keep that momentum going, and you see merchandise being sold, and you see some people selling shirts that don't normally sell shirts. All of this becomes quarterly financials. And when this is reported later on, and you know the numbers are going up, the finances are going up, new people are getting this, investors like that. Hey, you know, I like where this is going. Let me invest a little bit more. And the more the stock is in demand, the more the price goes up. So all of this can be a factor based on what we see on TV. But remember, they have to answer to them before they have to answer to us. Has Roman ever beat Brock Lesnar clean with no help ever? I don't know. What happened with WrestleMania? Technically, what? Roman, my arm is out. You know, look, this is to make Roman Reigns be our generation's Hulk Hogan. I don't mean like larger than life superhero. I'm talking about legitimacy. You know, you look at stages of pro wrestling. You had your Bruno that had the reign for so long. You had Backlund who had it for almost 5 years. Then you had Hogan who had a long run. And then Cena was dominant. And then you had Triple H that was dominant. I mean, Roman Reigns is this era. You know, it's amazing that it's been this many years already. I still think back to when, you know, I told my old co-host that Roman Reigns was going to get the John Cena push. And, you know, a lot of people thought I was nuts at the time. Wait, you don't look like him, don't sound like him, doesn't wrestle like him. But now you understand he is the focal point of this company. And isn't it amazing? Remember that noise you heard 3-4 months ago that Roman is not going to hardly be used and he's going to be less than a part-time player and what the fuck are they going to do and this and that. Does it feel like there's a problem right now? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. By them doing this with Roman Reigns, guess what? Roman Reigns could maybe wrestle another 5 years. We're not going to get 4 or 5-star matches from Roman Reigns with the exception like yesterday. I'm sure Meltzer won't give it 5 stars. But the point is that, you know, you want to prolong wrestlers' careers also. you might have that unbelievable holy shit moment, especially more in AEW, but do you think some of those wrestlers could possibly last 10 years? Not on that level. So Roman, they pull back a little bit, and we get to enjoy him a few extra years in the process. So, all right, let me answer a couple of super chats that came in. T. Smitty. Oh, this was from yesterday. Dakota Kai, thank you to Lucky Stars. Didn't sign with another promotion. And as I said yesterday, I totally disagree for the simple reason that Dakota Kai, you know, what options did she have out there? I didn't hear any reports that AEW was not interested in Dakota Kai. I didn't hear any reports that these other promotions were clamoring for Dakota Kai. Dakota Kai likes the game. She likes to wrestle. She likes a little bit of freedom. But she was very happy in WWE and under Triple H. Plus, you know, don't forget the fact that her name is still the same on the shirts. Now, I don't know if WWE owns that name. I don't think they do. So it could very well end up being that Dakota Kai, her contract may be for a very short amount of time. So I don't know what the details of her contract is, but if WWE does not own the rights to Dakota Kai, you know, there is no reason why they couldn't have tweaked it now and just bring her back with a little bit of a different name. But the fact that that hasn't happened, take note of that. Keep that in the back of your mind. I think that's a bigger issue. It's a bigger issue. Shout out yesterday to King of Games, also for that generous contribution yesterday for the shows and the family and the cause. Giuseppe, Gifa Giuseppe, quick question for the Don. When do I think WWE addresses the women's tag team titles? Thank you for the 20 spot. I think those women's tag team titles get addressed now. Not necessarily tomorrow on Raw, but it is going to happen in the very near future. I think, remember my episode of the Don Tony Show 3 weeks ago, I told you in my 25 years plus doing this, that episode will go down in the top five of the greatest episodes that I have ever done. The TV 14 stuff that we broke down ended up being 100% true. The whole scenario with Edge, even though almost all of us predict it, that ended up being all true. The Brock Lesnar, Vince McMahon situation ended up being all true. The Vince McMahon retiring and WWE giving him the opportunity to step down on his own terms, walk out into the sunset without being forced out, so his chapter could be closed on a positive. That documentary on Netflix, you will hear soon that is going to continue unless something disastrous comes out in this investigation. That Netflix documentary will be completed and will ultimately air. People forget, Netflix has aired a lot of documentaries about a lot of questionable people on both sides of the aisle that you would be like, the fuck are they covering this person for? You think Vince McMahon did worse than anybody else? So believe me, everything that we said on that show is either happened or is happening. And the only thing that is left is Sasha Banks and her relationship with Vince weighing very heavy. If Sasha Banks returns, and if she returns, possibly in 2023, she may have the rest of the year off. The reason why I bring that up now is I personally think that the women's tag team title situation was never addressed from Vince McMahon. Now, since it's on Triple H's lap, I think Triple H wanted to give Sasha and Naomi the opportunity that if they did want to come back, that they will come back. We know the story of them handing the titles in, but they could come back as rogue champions. They could come back, do a whole tournament, crown new tag team champions, and then have them come back anyway and demand what was theirs. Almost like, I don't want to say CM Punk and John Cena when they both had belts, but I think Triple H and WWE wanted to see if that opportunity was possible. And I think once they came to the conclusion that they did, whether Sasha comes back or she doesn't come back, now since they know Where to go from here? Now you will see those belts being addressed. WWE is not stupid. They know that the women's tag team division situation on the main roster is a problem. And it is a problem that Vince McMahon did not fix. Here is Triple H's opportunity to fix it. How do you fix it? You address it almost immediately. I guarantee you, before Clash at the Castle, and I know that's 4+ weeks away, but I guarantee you, before Clash at the Castle, we will have a definitive direction of those women's tag team championships. It's going to happen. It's not going to just sit on the sidelines for the foreseeable future and nothing is brought up. I'm telling you, you mark my words. It could happen as early as tomorrow. I'm not so sure about that, but expect it. Look, even with Kai and Sky, now a tag team, they're right in the midst of it. I could see Kai and Sky end up becoming WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. That could very well happen. That Women's Tag Team title situation will be addressed. I'm almost tempted to say within the next week or two, but I know we'll have some wise as, oh, DT, you said it a week or two. It could happen as soon as tomorrow, but I guarantee you before Clash at the Castle, we will have that resolved. We will have that resolved. Mark my words. Mikey Ravello, did I hear the latest from Wade Keller saying Becky would still have been a heel if Vince was in charge? That's not even news. That's not even news. I mean, why would he even write? See, look, I have nothing personal against Wade Keller. But I think Wade Keller is kind of jealous of a lot of other people out there who do have connections and sources. He doesn't have what he used to have anymore. And it's like he throws these things out there to like be like, hey, everybody, I still have sources. Hey, everybody, in case you forgot, I still have connections. He's one of the ones that said, oh, the climate behind the scenes is a little bit of relief that Vince McMahon has retired. I mean, that's not even fucking news. My sources tell us that, you know, there was angst and shock. And come on, you know, that's what it feels like. He's not even reporting concrete, solid stuff. Yeah, that is the job of Vince. Some people are heel, some people are babyface. You know, some people are this, some people are that. We talked about it yesterday. I think Ronda Rousey might be the one who is affected the quickest with Triple H at the helm because Vince McMahon thought Ronda Rousey would be better suited as a babyface. Triple H feels it. That's his fucking job. So what Wade Keller is saying, with all due respect, that's nothing. That's not even news. That's him just trying to like wave to people, hey, I still have connections, I still have sources. You know, it's not news. Ignore the guy. Ignore the guy. I mean, as the years go by, see, this is what happens with some of these people. See, me, I have the luxury of having my insurance business. So, God forbid, things ever went south with the shows. You know, I still have my job, my career that I still could fall back on. Some people have decided that their only source of income is doing YouTube streams or podcasting with their website or writing newsletters. What do you think Wade Keller's going to do now? Work at Arby's? I mean, what do you do? When you're now in your 60s and this is all you've done for 30 years, I mean, what else do you do? So this guy, as Fightful gets bigger, as Sports Keita has some legitimate sources, as some of PW Insider, they got some legit stuff, and he's on the outside looking in. Why would somebody want their sloppy fifths and get Wade Keller? They got Fightful, they got PW Insider, they got this person, they got that person. The fuck do I need Wade Keller for? You know, that's why when Wade Keller, everything's about emotion with Wade Keller. Oh, Vince told everybody that Shane McMahon this, or people are happy that Vince is gone. People are sad that Vince is gone. Some people celebrated. Some people were crying. Like, everything that he reports is based on emotion. It's not even news. Let him be. Let him have his fun. Ronnie Ciullo, keto questions. Now that I'm off keto a week, have I gained any weight? What food did I miss the most? What food have I not had yet? How is my body reacting to being off keto? I feel like shit. Feeling like this doesn't outweigh going off it. I went off of it because I'm getting married. I'm going on my honeymoon. And I know that I'm going to be eating things that are not good for keto. So rather than me feel like shit, then I figured let me feel like shit now and let my body get used to it. So when I go away, you know, I don't feel as bad. That's why I went off of it. I plan on going back on keto right after my honeymoon. What I missed the most, McDonald's French fries. I ate a boatload of them the other day. What food have I not had yet? I am dying for tortellini Alfredo. Something about tortellini Alfredo is just, God, I'm trust me, I'm going to make love to tortellini Alfredo later this week. And have I gained any weight yet? Maybe like a pound, pound and a half. That's water. That's water weight. I have not had any sugar. Even though I'm off keto, I have not had any sugar. I will admit I had 2 fried onion rings earlier today. I'm just trying to just keep it slow. But yeah, my body not being used to having carbohydrates for 3 years. Now my body is like, what the fuck are you doing? What the hell is this? So I feel like crap. No eggplant parmesan yet, because on keto you can have eggplant parmesan. I fry my eggplants in pork grinds. I know some of you might be like, oh, that's gross. No, it's not. I'm telling you, guys, gals, if you ever want to try it, get eggplant, dip it in egg, fry it in pork grinds. Italian seasoned pork grinds. Fry it in avocado oil or olive oil. I prefer avocado oil so your house doesn't smoke up due to the temperature. Add a little tomato sauce, mozzarella cheese. Almost identical to regular eggplant parmesan. I gave my fiance eggplant parmesan with pork rinds about maybe 6 months ago. And she thought it was delicious until I told her what I did, because I was making myself eggplant parmesan. And she's like, could you make me some, but make it normal? And I'm like, yeah, no problem. So, you know, she thought I was going to use regular like 4C breadcrumbs. And, you know, I'm like, I'm not doing 2 sets of fucking eggplant parmesan. So I fried it up and she's like, you're making it normal for me, right? And I'm like, yeah. And I fried everything with pork rinds. I put tomato sauce, melted cheese. She loved it. And after it was done, I said, I fried it in pork rind. She's like, you cocksucker. You lied to me. And then she hated it. But I'm telling you, spectacular. Got to try it. You got to try it. But thank you for that, Ronnie. Thank you for the 20 spot. I will be buying some non-keto food with that. Shout out to Crazy Cruise Weight again for the August 1st anniversary gift. Thank you. King of Games 405, since WWE pay-per-views are airing on Saturdays more often, do I think they should air earlier in the day? No. No. I love the Saturday. This morning was weird. I got up at 6:30 in the morning. I didn't go to sleep till almost 4. I thought I had to get up for work because I'm so used to like late Sunday night pay-per-views. I was like, holy shit, I could go back to sleep. I slept till 12:30 this afternoon. So, you know, I love the Saturday pay-per-views. I freaking love it. No, I don't think they should happen earlier in the day. It gets really screwy when you're talking about time zones. You know, West Coast, it's already bad. It's only 5 o'clock in the evening. If you're on the, you know, the South, it might be an hour difference. But no, I think 8 o'clock is fine. And understand, some of the regular pay-per-views only go about 2.5, 3 hours. Maybe 2.5 is stretching it. 3 hours. I swear I'm not saying this to trash AEW yesterday. I swear I'm not. You know what I noticed about yesterday with SummerSlam? I don't know if any of you noticed this. You may not have consciously thought about it, but now since I bring it up, you may actually think about this. I enjoyed Forbidden Door. And I enjoy Double or Nothing. I'm happy that I saw both of those events. Not criticizing either one. What I did feel with the number of matches that were announced, after about 2 hours, I felt like, wow, we still have 2 hours to go. We still have 7 matches left. Like it got to a point during both AEW events that I was like, okay, now the time is starting to wear on me. I could tell you yesterday, that event went almost 4 hours. It went over 3.5 hours. There was never a moment yesterday that I looked at the clock and I'm like, when is this going to end? I swear to you, and it had nothing to do with AEW, but I noticed that yesterday. I never once looked at the clock and I'm like, when is this going to be over with? I mean, I was paying attention to the time, so at least I gave everybody a good idea of when we're going to start last night live, but I never was conscious about the time for any other reason. And that is usually when you know you got some pretty damn, you know, good pay-per-view. And not only that, the way it was set up too. I ignored what someone wrote. I did not bother. Brian Alvarez saying that they had to cut Liv and Ronda early because of other things going long. You know, he doesn't fucking say anything when AEW shit goes long and other things are cut. That's just someone looking for a reason to bitch. Just like his, look, I love Brian Alvarez. I subscribe to the newsletter with Meltzer. But, you know, the little tweets like, oh, they brought Kane out there to lie about 10,000 people. Hey, motherfucker, why don't you go tell the stock market? Why don't you fucking go report it on all the business websites that they're reporting to their investors at 10,000? They wouldn't do that. This is emotional tweeting stuff. This is just to get people outraged. You know, people, that's why me, you know, when I went on my own solo, completely solo here, you know, I made the conscious effort, like, you know what? We're just having fun, man. You know, we could criticize things. We could, you know, give our opinions. We praise, we criticize, you know, we like, we dislike. But one thing is for certain, that we just enjoy what we want to enjoy and not focus on what we dislike. You know what I mean? Some people out there focus more on what they dislike than more on what they like. You know, if it pisses you off that bad, and if you don't like this, then why are you even watching it? You know, why do you even have to write stuff like that? Like somebody tweeted me, and I know he's probably listening right now, and I don't want you to get upset, but somebody tweeted me and brought up to me someone else that wrote that WWE went out of their way to eliminate all Vince McMahon references on Logan Paul's, Pat McAfee's video package. You know, the package that they aired right before his match. When I first signed with WWE, you saw it. And this person ran to show me a tweet from someone else that pointed out that WWE removed all the Vince McMahon references. I responded to that tweet and then I deleted it. I said, nah, I'm not even going to waste my time. You know what I said to that person? Okay, show me the tweet where you went to that person who is a huge AEW supporter and posted what I said, that AEW took all the Briscoe references out on Rampage. That, you think that person did that? No. Don't throw it in my face unless you throw what I say in someone else's face. That's like when I get the Jason Solomonster tweets or the JD from New York tweets or this or that. I fucking love both those guys. I respect both those guys. And I enjoy doing the show with Jason at time. And I'm going to be asking JD to do a show with me also. I love debating with people that actually, you know, can keep a stance and stick with it. I have nothing but respect for those guys. But some people try to like throw in my face because I have an opinion about something. Well, JD said this. Well, you must be talking about Jason because Jason said this. And I'm like, man, go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself. You don't throw my shit on their pages. Don't be throwing their shit on my page. I don't give a fuck who you are. I don't care if you're super chatty. I don't care if you blow me. Don't do that shit. That's disrespectful for me and it's disrespectful for everyone here. I express my opinions. I don't go look to see, let me make sure my friends don't differ with me, because it may look like I'm throwing it. Fuck you. Seriously. I speak my mind for all of you. I don't do it to differ with someone else. If I differ from someone else, so be it. Michael Gonzalez, do I see Edge forming another group to take on the Judgment Day? No. I know people fantasize Bray Wyatt, even though it doesn't make any sense. Think of Edge when he first started in WWE. Walking around the subways, walking around, you know, the streets by himself. Sure, he got Christian. And who knows? Maybe Christian Cage does come back sooner than later. Don't know. But Edge being a loner, that's perfect. Because Edge is not going to be, listen, this is more sausage than news, but I think most of you realize this by now. The reports that Edge was removed from Judgment Day was because they wanted to go supernatural with these guys. You know, they point their finger and something explodes. That you realize now all of those reports were 1,000% bullshit. Here's the facts with Edge and Judgment Day. Edge was put with Judgment Day to help elevate a few stars that could use a little bit of a jolt. Damian Priest, Rhea Ripley, Finn Balor. Other names were rumored. Those names were chosen. Edge was there to help elevate them. Once they got to a certain level, his job was done. Edge is not a full-time wrestler anymore. Edge is not a full-time performer anymore. Edge is semi-retired, works part-time, has a family, has other responsibilities. That never changed. If he stays involved with a faction, he has to appear almost every week on television. So when the Judgment Day started to gain traction on TV, this week, next week, the week after, and that's where it starts interfering with how Edge was being utilized. So Edge starting another faction, if it takes off, that will require him to be on TV almost every week. And if he doesn't show, oh, everybody was on TV except for Edge. Ooh, I wonder why. I hope he's okay. I hope he didn't get COVID. Is there a problem? People just assumed, but they never just used common sense. Edge is a Hall of Famer. Edge has a lot of creative pull for where his character goes. The idea that Bruce Pritchard or Vince or someone else said, we're going to go supernatural with Judgment Day. And Edge says, no, I don't want to do that. Okay, you're out of Judgment Day. Do you really think that happened? Do you really think that happened? It's beyond ridiculous. Just the fact that it would be the opposite. That if Edge said, look, I want to go supernatural, and WWE's like, well, we're really not going in that direction. And then Edge would say, well, you know what? You think Edge even operates that way? You think Edge ultimatums? You think it's even reciprocal? It's so stupid when you think about it. The only way you realize it's stupid is when time goes by. Just like WWE was erasing Triple H's legacy, getting him intentionally sick so he could either, you know, get a heart attack or maybe end his career and leave somewhere else. You know, Shane McMahon banished from the family, you know, Judgment Day going supernatural and they kick Edge out. And you know, like you start, the only way you realize that this is all stupid is but with time. With time. When you realize, you know, what NXT was becoming, we said it 2 years ago. WWE does not want to spend $10 million on payroll for NXT. Not for a developmental that draws 600,000-700,000 viewers. Not for a developmental that sells almost no t-shirts. Not for a company that is not good. It's all about profits. Investors, ultimately, why are we spending all this money on NXT and this is the return we're getting? They need to build the stars of tomorrow. You need some veteran presence to help build those stars of tomorrow. And people tried to convince you for a year that that was not the case. Then Triple H says it. Vince McMahon says it. And what do these people say? They're lying. They're lying. If they were lying, they'd go to jail. They're lying. So, you know, that's why Edge, you know, the idea of why he was removed is ridiculous. Starting another faction would require him to work almost full-time again. Could he align himself with Rey? Possibly. I think we will see a tag team match here and there. But Edge, right now, best utilized as a loner. By himself, as a loner. If Edge wants to work a little bit more, maybe he forms a tag team with someone. But right now, Edge, loner. More than anything. All right, let's answer a couple of more questions. We're at 65 minutes, so I will stay for 90. So we will stick around for another 20 minutes or so. Is there any watch yet about Ric Flair? Any updates at all? I'm curious. I know some of you are watching it in the background. Oh, Jeff Jarrett's music is hit. He's coming out right now. All right. So we will finish this show knowing what happened with Ric Flair. All right. So pretty cool. So we can actually keep the watch. The Ric Flair watch is on. Right now it is 9:11 p.m. Jeff Jarrett is coming out with his entrance music. And we will have Ric Flair. You know Ric Flair is going to be sobbing. He's going to come out sobbing. Because he knows this is it. Let's hope nothing goes wrong. Let's hope nothing goes wrong. All right. You have any more questions? Thank you. Compliment to a chat room. I couldn't understand when other people were really dogging this chat room, saying that it's toxic. And there's like a lot of like, I'm like, I don't see that at all. It's, you know, I know we have our regulars here. And anyone that is newer to the show, never feel like you can't talk in the chat. I removed that 20-minute, you know, requirement so people can speak spur of the moment if they want to talk about something. But I love the convo here. I love the vibe in here. That's what it should be all about. I mean, you know, there's shows that are directed for everybody to just scream and curse and complain and bitch and, you know, rip things. Or there's others that everything has to be unbelievable, epic, amazing. I got goosebumps. I'm crying. If I die tomorrow, I die the happiest of my entire life. This is better than sex. You know, I mean, you got those shows. I try to be in the middle. All right. My favorite mid-card title of all time. Oh, man. I see. You know, I just said, I see. I love the Intercontinental Championship. I know it is treated like a mid-card title now, but I always had a love for the IC title. Some of the champions from yesteryear, Morocco will always be my favorite IC champion of all time. You know, when the European Championship was around, you know, that was fun while it lasted. You know, you had the Cruiserweight title for a little while. The Hardcore title was so much fun. I think the 24/7 title may stick around, but it may morph into more of a Hardcore championship. You might have more comedy, but a different type of comedy. I don't think you'll get the Benny Hill chasing like we were getting it before. It's going to be really interesting to see what Triple H does with that 24/7 title. But, man, calling the IC title a mid-card title, it's almost like sacrilegious for me. So I like the green strap that Morocco had. I don't know. You know why? Because it brings me back to my childhood. It brings me back to my memories going to the garden. It brings back my memories going with my grandmother to Ridgewood. So I know there's the reason why. I see it. It flashes me back to 1983. Okay. If anybody has any last questions in the chat, write in capital letters question before it or the capital Q so it's I could spot it quicker because I know a lot of you are chatting as well. Yeah, tomorrow night, absolutely. Raw tomorrow. I think they break 2 million viewers tomorrow. I do. Somebody asked that earlier. I think WWE breaks 2 million viewers tomorrow. If not, it's going to come very close to 2 million. I wonder if Roman Reigns opens the show. We're 5 weeks away from Clash at the Castle, so you really can't burn out the confrontation with Drew and Roman too early. But that could start tomorrow. I just wonder if we're going to start off maybe with Riddle and Seth Rollins. Maybe we get the returning women come out there first. I want to see how they treat the alliance with Becky Lynch and Bianca. And if Becky ultimately screws Bianca, sets her up and turns on her months from now, I'm going to think about that Wade Keller stupidity. SoFly is asking, did I hear about actress Kat Dennings that said she likes WWE and all these wrestling fans started spamming her? I think it's stupid. I mean, anybody that is a wrestling fan, I don't know why people would do that. You know, unfortunately, and it's not changing for the better, social media is toxic. You know, it's as toxic as you want to use it or allow it. I mean, I have muted so many people. I kind of feel bad sometimes when someone says, hey, did you see what I tweeted? And I usually just ignore it because I feel bad saying to the person, nah, you're muted. But, you know, if someone is a WWE fan, especially an actor, an actress, and they don't like AEW, never heard of AEW, or don't pay attention to AEW, to see all these people, like, they feel like it's their duty to, like, put these people in their place, man. I mean, it's bad when they do it to wrestling fans. When you do it to non-wrestling fans, it just makes those celebrities, like, feel like, what fucking kind of audience does pro wrestling have? You're like, do you want to represent, like, when you see something awesome in wrestling, you want to brag to the world how awesome wrestling is, whether it's CM Punk's return, Bryan Danielson, AEW, WWE, wrestling, whatever it is, whatever really makes you proud to be a wrestling fan, you want to tell the world. How do you feel when that world laughs at you? I don't think you would like it very much. So don't do it to others. You know, I want to represent the part of wrestling where we enjoy what we enjoy. And we could poke fun on things we don't like or maybe is kind of shangada. But, you know, I don't want to be looked at as, oh, he's just a whiny asshole. You know, he's just complains about everything, a bitter bitch. You know, those days are over. You know, I just feel when people do that, it's like, what are they trying to prove? Are they trying to, like, just cancel her out for her to say, oh, you know, fuck wrestling? And then what do they feel like? Hey, we did our job. I don't know. I see stuff like that. You know, that's why when people show me random stupid tweets by people and I look and they got 15 followers, you know, the first thing I say to myself is, why are you even paying attention to that person in the first place? T. Smitty with the five spot. Thank you very much, my friend. He says he knows the dirt sheet writers hated when Becky turned heel. But don't I think a heel Becky was a bigger help for Bianca than face Becky? Absolutely. I said it last year, SummerSlam, that in the end, this is going to benefit Bianca Belair. And I brought it up last night. As much as people hate Vince, Vince McMahon told Bianca Belair a year ago, let the story play out. In the end, you will benefit from it. She put trust. Just as much as that trust was broken with Sasha Banks and Naomi, that trust was proven for Vince McMahon and Bianca Belair. Bianca trusted Vince. Sasha and Naomi trusted Vince. Sasha and Naomi were given promises that were broken. Bianca Belair's promises were not broken. Took a damn long time for it to be proven. But Becky Lynch is one of the biggest reasons why Bianca Belair is as big as she is right now. And Bianca is gone. Let me tell you something. It's not easy for Bianca to do an interview with Ariel Helwani, giving all this love and praise to Becky. But in storyline, Becky is supposed to hate Bianca. It's very, very difficult. And you even saw fans the last couple of days. Why is Bianca praising Becky? Because they follow more based on the storyline. Now with Becky as sort of a babyface, aligning with Bianca, for whatever comes out later on, now you can express that respect and love and you're on the same page. Becky Lynch is a huge reason why Bianca Belair is where she is now. Heel Becky Lynch helped. Now tweener Becky Lynch aligning with Bianca. My enemy is my best friend. I know the other one, keep your enemies by your, you know, keep your friends by your side, keep your friends close, but your enemies right by your side. So, you know, I will always give Becky Lynch credit for Bianca. Bianca did all the work too. Bianca didn't just sit back and let it all happen. She worked her ass off as well. They fed off of each other, and they make great music together. Michael Gonzalez, who had the better last match, Steve Austin or The Undertaker? It's really hard to compare those two. Undertaker was all choreographed, produced, cut, take, edit, cut, redo, cut. If you did that for me, if you did that for you, if you did that for anybody out there, you cut, edit, stage, stop, freeze, cut, edit, could make anybody look like $1 million. I'm not saying that The Undertaker would have looked like shit if it was not live, but you know, you can't compare The Undertaker's cinematic match with Steve Austin. You can't. It's two totally different things. They're both under the wrestling banner, but Undertaker's was like a movie. Steve Austin's was not. Which one did I enjoy more? Steve Austin's. People remember that WrestleMania night. I enjoyed Bray Wyatt and John Cena just a drop more than I enjoyed Undertaker and AJ Styles. And probably because I felt that the match was overly produced, but that was the only way you were going to have Undertaker go out in the sunset looking like $1 trillion. WWE did everything for Undertaker perfect, but I kind of enjoyed Steve Austin's a little bit more because you saw it raw in its unedited form presented live right in front of your face. All right, Flair just did a drop kick. Oh, no. All right. Sorry. False alarm. So what's going on with Ric Flair? Mick Foley and The Undertaker front row. Yes. I did say yesterday you were going to see some WWE wrestlers there present. Some wrestlers will be backstage. I don't know if they'll be on camera. I still think Charlotte Flair has to be there. Maybe she gets involved with Karen Angle. Maybe she doesn't. Charlotte has to be there for her father's final match. Flair starts off the match with Jeff Jarrett. Yeah, you know, look, all people realize Vince McMahon saw the writing on the wall since probably February or March of this year. Think about that. The investigation started around April. Remember, WWE hired outside investigators. The allegations came in before then. The allegations came in, some questions were asked, and then it led to an investigation. Yeah, we got to look into this. In the midst of all of this, Vince goes on Pat McAfee, has a WrestleMania match, does his appearances on WWE television, does his things a little bit, with Theory was a little bit before it, but think back to what Vince McMahon did in those final 5 months. And now you realize, okay, this guy knew. He saw it. All right, I'm about done with WWE. I'm going out there with Pat McAfee, doing that interview, getting myself out there. I'm going to WrestleMania. I'm going to go at it with Austin. I'm doing this. Vince put himself all over the news and TV on his way out. He knew exactly what was happening. So, all right. Damien says Ric Flair looks drunk. Oh, Ric Flair absolutely had a couple of cocktails. Shit, kind of like eases the nerves, relaxes the body a little bit. Sure, you don't want anybody wrestling that's under the influence. You know, it could kind of take you off a little bit, but it's not like these wrestlers. I mean, look, I don't want to name anybody you watch on Wednesday, but there's one particular wrestler on Wednesdays, you could figure out who it is, that when you see that person come out, his eyes are usually bloodshot red from having a couple of cocktails backstage before he comes out, whether it's just to cut a promo or to actually wrestle. All right, couple of questions. We're going to wrap this up in 10 minutes. You think they'd have Flair go an hour? I mean, look, it'd be a lot of gaga, but can you imagine if they did a one-hour time limit draw? Does anybody know if they announced a match like one-hour time limit, or did they just say one fall to the finish? Yeah, give Jeff Jarrett credit, man. That guy overcame his addiction, and he's still fighting the good fight. And he just got himself, he was always in decent shape. But if you go back when that incident in Canada, then he went into rehab, you look at him back then and you look at him now, you know, at his age, you say to yourself, would you even spend half that time in the gym anymore? You would think, ah, I'm going fishing. I'm just sitting on my fat, white ass. I'm just going to chill and barbecue and take it easy and go to conventions. And I don't even know why I'm talking like this because Jeff don't even have an accent like this. That motherfucker put in so much crazy-ass time in the gym. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Soulfly thinks it's going to go 30 minutes. I would like to go off the air being able to tell everyone, okay, match is over. No injury, nothing worse. Whether it was good or not, that'll be up to the person. Look, you know some people, if the match sucks, you know some people, you know they're going to do that. But if he ends up unscathed for the most part, then I'll watch it later tonight. I will give you my honest thoughts on Monday. As of right now, I don't even know what the hell I'm going to do for my thumbnail Monday. I was going to put Flair on the cover for the thumbnail. You know, thank you, Rick. But, you know, SummerSlam, the fallout of SummerSlam, you know, it's awfully tempting. I'm going to watch the SummerSlam main event again tonight, watching Brock with the tractor and what he did. That shit was crazy, man. Yeah, this was very smart. In fact, we're going to probably spend the last 7 minutes talking a little bit about Flair and some other things. Very, very smart on Conrad's part and Ric Flair to make it a tag match. Charlotte's now married to Andrade. That is his son-in-law. To have your final... Look, I think in a realistic world, I think Ric would have loved to tag up with Charlotte and take on Jeff Jarrett and a female of his choice. But obviously that was not going to happen. But, you know, there's no shame at his age to say, look, you need a tag team partner. Something goes off the rails, you get injured, something like that, there's no one there. You do run-ins. Run-ins only go so far. It was very, very smart for them to do a tag match. The minute you feel something is off, you tag out to Andrade. You let him and Jay Lethal do what they got. Look, Ric Flair and Jay Lethal will exchange chops tonight. Some of what you saw in that school, that gym, with Flair and Lethal early this year, you will see that in the ring tonight. Jared is fucking with Ric Flair right now, doing the Fargo strut. So it feels like a lot of gaga to open it up. I don't want this to become a watch along with Flair. So, you know, give me pertinent updates. Anybody have any other questions you want me to answer before we start wrapping this up? Let's see. There's like a little delay, everyone. I have a little delay. It's like 8 seconds, so people don't have any streaming issues. Thank God we have not had any streaming problems for well over a year now. So... don't I hate Bianca Belair with that skip and hair twirl? No, that's her style, a little mantra. I could care less. Bianca Belair is one of the top stars in that company. You know, AJ Lee, she used to skip around the ring and everybody thought it was cute. You do little mannerisms. I have no issue with that at all. Will Stephanie be out on Raw Monday and in good clothes? I don't know. I mean, they thanked Mr. McMahon, Vince McMahon. That's not going to continue every single week. We got to move on. We got to go forward. I don't know if Stephanie comes out. There's no reason for Stephanie to come out on Monday. I tell you the truth, I kind of thought that Triple H was going to come out yesterday, welcoming everyone to SummerSlam, but we didn't get that. What do they do with Corbin next? Your guess is as good as mine. I think on SmackDown, somebody will laugh at Corbin for not getting the job done with Pat McAfee. And then that'll end up with a brawl. I just hope they don't go back with Madcap Moss. Somebody will probably just start laughing at Corbin. And then that'll just, that's how you start the feud. I don't know who it's going to be. Sami Zayn is injured. Don't know how far he is from a return, but Sami Zayn, they did not do anything with him yesterday. And one of the biggest reasons, because he's injured. And, you know, you're not going to move on with that storyline if he can't compete. What do I think Ciampa's ceiling is right now since Triple H is in charge? Again, I'm not trying to crap on anything with Triple H. I'm excited. But people are acting like Triple H has not been around creative or WWE the last 20 years. Triple H has been there. He's been involved. He's given input. If Ciampa doesn't deliver, he's going to get cut. I mean, people think... I mean, look, people used to rag on Vince for having his guys. You're not going to keep Ciampa and other people if they're not delivering. It's Ciampa's job to get himself over with the WWE Universe. If he comes off as just another guy aligned with Miz, that will fizzle out sooner or later. So just putting him on TV and just having him interact with people is not enough. You will be able to feel the vibe of the social media, internet wrestling community, the people live in attendance. If Ciampa, and I'm a big fan of Ciampa's, I don't need to prove that, but if Ciampa continues to be indifferent in the eyes of wrestling fans, he will be cut. And people will realize quickly, okay, you know, this is not what we expected from Triple H. They're a $1 billion company. You're not going to try to fix what's not broken. You're not going to do that, even though people online want to convince you that shit is broken. So you will be able to feel the vibe and sense if Ciampa is working well in WWE or if he's not. Chris is asking, what's a character that hasn't happened in WWE or AEW that I would like to see? I have no idea. I think we've seen almost everything over the years. I think WWE should go full-blown with an anti-America character. I mean, they teased it a little bit with Rusev early on when Lana used to go, Putin, Vladimir Putin. But it really didn't go to the steps that it could have. Lacey Evans, I wish they would have done that with Jackson Ryker. My God, he would have, I mean, look, I don't want anybody to get death threats, but he would have got death threats. I'm sure he got death threats anyway, but we've seen everything. We've seen almost every gimmick you could possibly think of. I mean, what is left? Really, there's not much left. Even look, Maximum Male Models, we've seen wrestlers act like models over the years. You know, it's just, you reinvent it, you tweak it, you try to add to it, take it away. You know, we've even had characters who played, you know, people who were gay, teased that they were gay. We've had Muslims playing Muslims. You've had people playing different nationalities. I mean, we have seen everything. So I don't know. I mean, you know, we've even had science fiction characters. We've had characters dress up in sports outfits. It's not much left. Overnight grocery manager. I'm sure we've had a grocery manager at some point, a bodega guy. You know, I mean, in the early stages of doing what I wanted, Abul Shita, you know, we were going to have him have a bodega. We were going to have him own a bodega. And Mass Maniac went with Ghana Ria Akbar. Oh, man, I wish they would have went with mine. Abul Shetta. A-B-U-L, last name spelled S-H-E-T-T-A-H. I at least got to use it on my show for about a year. Hey, everybody, I am Don Tony, a.k.a. Abul Shetta. And I always wanted the echo chamber. I just never bothered with special effects on the shows, but I always wanted, whenever I said, I always wanted a deep echo to go, Abul Shetta. All right, what's going on with Flair? What's going on with Ric Flair? They haven't done a gimmick where a person is from the future? That would be kind of funny. Somebody comes out with the WWE Championship. I am from the future. My future is I defeated you for the title. The fuck are you talking about? Look, I have a title. How do you think I got this? I got it from the future. But wait, I have my title still. How did that happen? Kind of like that episode of Spaceballs. Remember when they're looking at the TV? Wait, what just happened? Oh, that now is before. When was before? Just now. When do we get just now? No more. Why? Because it happened before. My head would explode. That would be funny. I am from the future. The future says... No, we have to keep this PG. They had a garbage man character, Duke the Dumpster Drossy. It sucked. Do you think they did that because of the movie Men at Work? You think so? Because that movie Men at Work came out like a few years before, and they're like, oh, we need a garbage man character. Losing my voice a little bit. We did a lot of shows this week. Oh, by the way, you know what this is? Manscaped is coming back tomorrow. They have asked Don Tony. Don Tony, would you like to promote once again? We'd like to use you. We had some success with your shows before. We would like to hire you again. So tomorrow's show will be brought to you by Manscaped. I still can't believe that some people unsubscribe from our Patreon because I plugged Manscaped. Why is Manscaped on the channel? You always advertise ad-free shows. Simply because I said this show is brought to you by Manscaped, they unsubscribed. I kid you not. Maybe they were just looking for a reason, but... crazy. All right, what's going on with Flair? We need updates. We need some updates. Yes, Don Tony has to eat. Don Tony has to pay for a wedding. Don Tony has a lot of production expenses, internet, stuff like that. And there's a lot of people out there that are trying to get Don Tony out of business. They don't like that Don Tony has an extended family like all of you. The only thing that is going to kill, it's like what Vince said about Brett. The only way Don Tony is going to get screwed is if Don Tony screws Don Tony. And trust me, I don't like screwing myself. Do I think WWE would be better off with takeover style matches? No, not right now. Not with the NXT as it is. You do some gimmicks to attract some additional fans. Get them out of their element. Sometimes those type of matches are a little bit easier to navigate, although riskier. Takeover is more of just, you know, like, it's an advertisement slogan. You know, you look at your local stores, they may tease this, or they may try to, like, emphasize something and try to get a little bit of extra attention. You know, why do you think AEW every week? You know, it's, you know, Bash by the Beach, Quake by the Lake. P in the C. You know, it's every week there's a theme. Fight for the fallen. Fight for the unfallen. Don't fight for anybody that's fallen. I've fallen and I can't get up. You know, every week there's a gimmick. Oh, next week it's the quake by the lake. I'm going to pee by the sea. I'm going to shit by the pit. I'm going to nap by the whatever. Every week there's a gimmick. You know how pissed off it is when I do like videos on YouTube? And I only have a certain number of characters with the title. I just settle. I'm like, fuck it, man. AEW Dynamite results. I'm not going to write AEW Dynamite, Fight for the Fallen, Night 1, Wednesday. This, like, I have no room to write anything else. Fuck you, AEW. I'm going to take a AEW Dynamite presents Shit by the Pit. Gas in the ass. That's what I got. Flair is bleeding. You think? How's it been so far? Seriously, how has it been? This is not a watch along, but how's it been? How's it been? I Darren is telling me keep them coming. I'm not like John Cena with these battle raps that I could, you know, just throw them off at a, I'm not like Max. Listen. I'm going to pee by the sea, shit in the pit. You leave me alone or else you're gonna get hit. I'm Don Tony, motherfucker. Get used to my name. If you don't like me, go play the game. I mean, I just start doing that shit. I sound like JD. Do I really sound like JD? Or does JD sound like me? 25 years. Am I doing... You want to know something? That's funny you asked that, Eric. I see that the show's kind of gone off the rails. So you know what? We'll go 2 hours. We'll go about 2 hours. We got 20 minutes left. It now is just like chat about whatever. No, I'm not going to do a rap at the wedding, but I actually told my fiance earlier that, you know, if I had like friends going or people in wrestling going, I would have showed up in the wedding and before the first dance, go on the microphone and say, family, acknowledge me. But she looked at me and she's like, no, that's not funny. That's not in the least bit funny. So even though that night, Drew McIntyre might be crowned champion right around the time, you know, that I'm going to come out. But I'm not having close friends there because I'm paying this wedding myself and I just can't afford it. So we're just keeping it mostly family. So, yeah, she didn't think it was funny at all. I said, I might go on the mic and say, family, acknowledge me. And she's like, no, that's not funny. And honestly, I don't think it would have been funny. I think people would have just stood there looking like disabled. And it would have been like, that's how they would have looked at me. If I'm going to my, acknowledge me. I wanted to go to StarCast, but the amount of money that's involved to go to StarCast is crazy. It's crazy. I will tell you this. Is weird shit going on in the wrestling journalist world. Really weird shit. I saw clips today of Sean Ross Sapp and Bill Bahati having a crazy verbal exchange. And then I saw this other guy, I kid you not, 3 months ago, asked people online to post a GoFundMe because he was facing eviction. And this guy showed up at StarCast bragging on social media that he's got front row tickets for this, autograph signing this. And I'm just like sitting back and I'm like, what the fuck is going on out there? I mean, people are fighting with other people, this with this. People are just, you know, like using GoFundMe to fund their trips to StarCast and stuff. I'm like, man. You know, why are people allowing, you know, like, why can't people just have fun? Seriously, a lot of people DM me the stuff with Sean Ross Sapp and Bill Bahati, like, who you taking? I'm like, taking, what do you mean? Like, I'm not rooting for either one. It sucks that anybody has to fight in the first place. You know, I don't want to be in that situation. 10 years ago, maybe I would have been different, but it doesn't excite me anymore. I'm boring now. Very boring. Yeah, there's some weird shit going on online with some people. Really, really odd stuff. Vince is not going to walk out. Antoine, yeah, I would love to see it. Vince did show up at a house show. It was like 15 years ago for John Cena. Didn't he show up in Boston or something? If any of you have never seen that, go on YouTube, type Vince McMahon indie event. And you'll see Vince actually showed up. It was weird. If you've never said, was it John Cena's father's promotion? I don't remember which promotion, but if you've never seen it, go on YouTube and type John Cena or Vince McMahon indie wrestling event. And you'll see the clip. It's just strange. It's a really strange video. So, but it's fun. All right, any updates from Rick before we can start bringing this home? We know Rick is bleeding. I hate to say this. We, you know, shouldn't have to say it. He's still alive. But how's it been so far? Has it been gaga? I mean, has Flair done a lot more than you expected? I mean, what's your honest thoughts of Flair right now? There is no wrong answer. Be honest. If you think it's been awesome, tell me. If you think it's been embarrassing, tell me. He took a suplex. Okay, cool. Flair is beat up. Andrade got the hot tag. All right, cool. So this, it sounds like this match will be coming home soon. Couple of people are praising Ric Flair so far, saying that he's actually done pretty good. Look, you see his age. I mean, there's no escaping it. You could be inspired. You could feel good for him. You could feel bad for him. You know, you could be curious what's going to happen. At the end of the day, this match should not have happened. Not at this stage of the game. Should not. You know, the weird thing about it is Triple H is probably in better health than Ric Flair. And Triple H cannot enter the ring anymore. Flair's movement is lacking, but he's trying. Gruss says that the match has been very long so far. Now we got a ref bump. All right, if Charlotte Flair is going to get involved, it should happen now. Is Karen Angle going to get involved? Is she going to come out there with a loaded purse? Rick took a suplex from Jay Lethal. Okay, we're getting some feedback. Flair's been taking a lot of bumps. Okay. So far, Nasty says, at a scale of 1 to 10, he says it's been a 6. Listen, if that match ends, people ranking a 6, you couldn't have asked for anything better. Flair saying that he's going to be better than what he was 10 years ago is ridiculous. Karen has been involved the whole match. No, Charlie, I will not be making public the private photos I got of Stephanie and Triple H backstage at Madison Square Garden last week. Friend of mine was a guest there, was a guest for something else, not Ray's party, but was hanging out, got a lot of pictures backstage. And, you know, I only teased it by describing what they wore. Nobody called me out on it because they knew it was true, but I'm not going to post those photos, so... Karen's been fighting with fans and cursing a lot, trying to fight Megan and Conrad. Oh, man, I still wish that would have happened. Flair cuts the retirement speech after the match is over. He's crying, and before, you don't hear someone's music hit. You hear Conrad come out. SaveWithConrad.com. I'd like to see Conrad take a bump. Maybe Karen could, like, low blow him in the nuts. You mean to tell me, and Conrad, if you happen to be listening to this, because I think he tunes in once in a blue moon, Conrad, if you ever see this, we need at least one time in our lifetime that somebody low blows you, and you're in the middle of the ring, and your face turns purple like an eggplant. You're like, seriously, like you just sucked on a bunch of lemons, like Dana Brooke, you know, someone, she has that look. We want to see Conrad, you know, lightheartedly, we want a low blow to Conrad. Yeah, you know what? Jeff Jarrett's podcast, I've listened to a little bit of it. Shows up on my feed, and it's great. I mean, I can't disrespect Conrad. I had a lot of debates the past bunch of years about Conrad and his business. I can't. I appreciate his hustle. I appreciate the hard work. Yeah, he's cornering everything. And, you know, I know there's a lot of controversy about Podcaster's Row to this day, but, you know, I see zero wrong with it. He's making money. People want to pay it. He ain't forcing it out of people. He ain't swerving anyone. He ain't promising something that doesn't deliver. The man advertises something. He tells you, this is what I want. This is what you get. People want to pay it. Get, you know, criticize the people that pay it. As long as the people pay it, he will keep doing it. Figure four on Jeff Jarrett. Flair looks bad, looks very blown up. So Flair, did he get the win? Flair won. Figure four. Good. Good. Match is over. I think we're going to get a hug with Ric Flair and Jeff Jarrett. We didn't get any Charlotte Flair appearance. Could still happen. Could still happen. I would love to see Triple H come out. I think if Triple H came out to give a hug to Ric Flair, you know, it's not even a shot at Vince. I think that would be tremendous. Seriously, of everybody. of everybody. I think, wouldn't it be cool if Ric Flair had an appearance from Randy Orton and Triple H? Too bad, like, Batista couldn't go. I mean, I know they're not close like they used to be, but I would rather see Triple H, Ric Flair, Batista, and Randy Orton in the same ring at the end than to see Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, you know, him, and pick another horseman. No Charlotte. No Charlotte. It's not over yet. I'm sure we're going to get a retirement speech now. Okay. Danny says I'm right. Right about what? Did you'd rather see Evolution out there? You know, we've had so many horsemen reunions. I mean, most of the people that want to see that again are either older than me or maybe never got to experience that and they just want to see it for an emotional kick, you know, pick me up. But man, you know, as far as wrestling and relevancy and what WWE did for Ric Flair over the last, you know, 20 years, you know, there's been bumps in the road. I would love to see that. You know, WWE loses no buy rates. They lose no revenue. There's no forbidden door. I would love to see some of those guys come out and toast Ric Flair right now. You know, I mean, I understand this part. You know, WWE did a retirement match with Flair. You see, a lot of you newer viewers out there, newer wrestling fans, you got to understand this. I mean, look, never say never in wrestling. But, you know, when Vince McMahon did the retirement storyline with Ric Flair quite some time ago, over 10 years ago, there was a whole entire storyline that took place on TV week after week. The next match Ric Flair loses, he's done, he's retired. They did, you know, a little ceremony after a Raw. They, you know, the Shawn Michaels with the watch. There's been, and Ric Flair got paid a lot of money. And this was his retirement. And it was beautiful. And I shedded tears, no question. And then right after Ric Flair retired, you started immediately hearing rumblings that Ric Flair is like a fish out of water without wrestling. Ric Flair needs to be in wrestling. Ric Flair needs to be in wrestling. And then we started hearing that, all right, maybe Ric Flair will take a chop or take a cheap shot from somebody once in a while. But Vince McMahon said, he's retired. We did all this for him. We did it at WrestleMania. He had the match with Shawn Michaels. Everything he did, we're not going back on that. They didn't even want Ric Flair to be physical around ringside. And then he left and he went to TNA. And he did the Hulkamania, Australia stuff. And a lot of people in WWE felt very, very disrespected that we just did all this for this guy and paid him accordingly. And he goes, and then they did the storylines. You know, Ric Flair, the Hall of Fame ring turned into a storyline. You think WWE enjoyed that, watching TNA doing this stuff? So, you know, there was a lot of animosity towards Ric Flair back then. Lauren says, Mick Foley, Undertaker with Michelle McCool, Vicky Guerrero, Conrad, and his wife. Okay, very cool. Soulfly says, we may need a second match. Ric Flair and Jeff Jarrett's shoulders were down on the figure four spot. Ric Flair is talking right now. Hey, too bad we can't get permission to like air some of this. You know, hey, business is business. I respect that. So we're not going to take a chance of getting in any trouble. But, you know, look, I'll tell you this much. You know, when I go back and I listen to the podcast that we did back then, a lot of us during the Ric Flair retirement storyline in WWE, we never thought in a million years that Ric Flair would ever retire. We just felt like, what is he going to do? You know, what is he going to do after wrestling? And it didn't feel like working behind the scenes was enough. He needed to be in on the action. A lot of people felt that there ain't no way he's going to stay retired. And look what ended up happening. I think after all these years now, I think most has been forgiven. And WWE did make money. off of that as well. I mean, this was a huge selling point for WrestleMania at that time. It's not like WWE lost crazy money over this. Bret Hart was there too. Very cool. You know, I would have liked to have seen some videos recorded from WWE personnel. You know, that's a shame. I mean, I know Cody recorded a video for Rick. I have not heard about any other recording. I mean, I'll get some information tonight. I'm sure I have a whole bunch of stuff in my DM box as it is. We're going to close out this show in 5 minutes, everybody. Bandido is a great performer. I said, I think last year, keep that guy's name on your radar. You know, may take another year or two, but I think Bandido is going to be a breakout star. Sting did a recorded speech. Very cool. Ric Flair is giving his Lou Gehrig speech on the floor. Kevin Milwaukee says, hey, this is the greatest moment in my life. Hogan Flair thing. Tour was like 20 years too late. No, it wasn't 20 years too late. They did it 20 years before. And they did it 30 years before. I think they did. What? They did it in 91. And then the Hulkamania. No, that was 20 years. No, so they did it. Look, they did Flair and Hogan in the 90s, the 2000s, the 2010s. No. Yeah, I think Hulkamania Australia was around 2010. So they did do it across three decades. We don't need more of that. How much longer will Sting wrestle? A couple more years. As long as, you know, he still has a contract with AEW, they will, you know, allow him Sting's rules. You know, he'll go as far as he thinks he can go. I don't think more than a couple of years. I don't think more than a couple of years. You know, Sting, gotta love what he's doing. By the way, I got something on its way to me. I got some vintage autograph photos that are being sent to me that are from Sting. I love it. It's a headshot from him back in his surfer days. And the quality of the photo, I was amazed. The way it was emailed to me, I'm like, oh my God, yes. You know, this guy said to me, you think your viewers will like it? I'm like, shit, yeah. So when I get it, then I'll show all of you. So tomorrow I'm going to make a little announcement, a little change with giveaways going forward with the watch parties. We're going to do the giveaways once a week from now on. And we'll take all the watch parties for the week and we will all run the contest all in the same night. But the idea is you win one, then we remove your name off the wheel and then we spin it again. It's not that someone would win twice in the same night. That's not going to happen. But the thing is that if there's 10 people on the wheel and you're one of the 10, that means you have a 1 in 10 chance of winning. That's 10%. But if you are only 8 people on the wheel because somebody that won had 2 entries on the wheel already, now you have a 1 in 8 chance of winning, which is bigger odds. So when we pick winners, we take them off the wheel, and it's very easy to do that. It's just 2 clicks with a mouse. But this way, everybody, you know, gets good odds to win. So, okay. 2 more, and we're out of here, and then I have a question for all of you about Ric Flair. But first, what do I think of big-name stars coming to WWF's new generation and having hokey gimmicks like Farouk, Ringmaster, Dean Douglas? I hated most of them. I like Flash Funk. I like the gimmick because Scorpio was always a player. Anybody remembers the Mass Maniac shows we did with Scorpio? I still have 1 or 2 recorded. Scorpio was a player, man. I still can't believe some of the shit that he told us on the shows, especially about the alleged child with Buff Bagwell's wife and all that. I'm not telling the story here, but... Now, the gimmicks, look, 95 was cartoon era still. 95, the gimmicks sucked. Farouk, when we saw Ron Simmons, you know, first of all, I was like, damn, you know, I don't like him without the mustache. And then we were like, what's this fucking silver thing on its head? They were trying to make him look like Spartacus or something like that. I didn't like it. All right, I got a question for all of you. Shout out to Rockstar Wolfie. Question for all of you. Should I watch the Ric Flair retirement match tonight? For all of you that have watched it now, we know that he escaped without injury, with, you know, bumps and bruises, obviously, but without injury or worse. Should I watch it? Michael Gonzalez says no. Caveman didn't give an answer. Conway says no. Damien says yes. Danny310 says it's uncomfortable. Darren says no. James says yes. More no's than yes. Wow. Surprised. So, all right. It's a little more no's than yes, but look, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to give you my honest take tomorrow. I'll try to find a good thumbnail. Maybe a thank you, Rick, for the show tomorrow. It's just I don't want it to overshadow SummerSlam Fallout. We got a big Raw tomorrow, and there's going to be some interesting stuff coming out of Raw, and we may get another surprise tomorrow. I don't want to say what I was told. It's not a guarantee, and I'm not going to make anybody, you know, pay me money for something that may not happen. But apparently WWE does have a little something up their sleeve tomorrow for Raw. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But Ric Flair crying, take my pick. I could find a ton of them. So, all right, I'm going to jet out of here. I hope everybody had a great weekend. I'm going to go put this show online. I'm going to prepare for tomorrow. I got to work tomorrow, so I got to get shit done there. And I can't believe we're ready in August. Oh, my God. September 3rd. I tied a knot. August is going to be a very, very stressful month for yours truly. Do you know, leave you with a little personal tidbit. Wednesday at, I think, 1:30 in the afternoon, I'm going to see the judge for the city of New York. They have a program called Project Cupid. Because of COVID, you don't have to go to the courthouse and file for your marriage license in person. You can actually do it online, answer a boatload of security questions, and then as long as you are in front of a computer, a webcam with your fiance, you could see the judge from the privacy of your own home on video, and we are going to see our marriage judge this Wednesday. Now, the funny thing about it is my fiance is like, do you have a laptop with a webcam? And I'm like, yeah, why? She's like, I'm not sitting in your showroom. Imagine we're sitting on camera right now and a city of New York judge is preparing our license and he's looking in the back and he's like, what the fuck am I looking at? Like, I have a green screen, but I'm not going to set that up quickly. But yeah, could you imagine if I apply for my license and I got this as the background? So yeah, so that's going down on Wednesday. So August is going to be a fucking nerve-wracking week for yours truly. I'm a little annoyed. You know, my wedding falls on Clash at the Castle. The next day is AEW's, what, All Out, right? So we got a big weekend that weekend. I think. So, all right. Everyone be well. Much love as always. Maybe Clash at the Castle's the following week. I don't know. All I know is it kind of like interferes, but I may actually do a show September 4th. Not sure yet. We got to play it by ear and see what happens. So, all right, everybody. If you enjoyed tonight's show, smash that like button. If you know anyone out there that you think may like this channel, let them know about it. Don't forget tomorrow night, if you're live with me, I promise you within the first 30 minutes of the show, we will do that guest of ratings contest. We will give away someone tomorrow will win this autographed photo of Vince McMahon. This was not easy to get. You know, getting a current picture of Vince autographed is not very easy. I was able to get a couple. So someone tomorrow will win it. And if you don't like Vince, sell it. But don't tear it up. You're not making a movement. You might get 100 likes out of it. But then you're going to be like, wow, I just tore up a $200 photo. So join me tomorrow night after Raw, 11:05 p.m. Enjoy Raw. I will watch the Ric Flair match later on tonight. And I'll tell you this much. When you see the thumbnail for Monday's show, the thumbnail will be based on how much I like the Ric Flair match. If it was kind of embarrassing, I probably will just focus on SummerSlam Fallout. So be well, everyone. Stay safe as always. Thank you for the support. Much appreciated. Thank you. I can't thank you enough. So you all take care. Be well and good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.